Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Looking Both Ways podcast. I am Pastor Tim, as always, alongside Pastor Rich, for coming into the, this is our last week, right? Our last week of the Looking Both Ways, no, not the Looking Both Ways, I'm so sorry, of the Seven Churches series. Well, we'll keep doing this for sure. Finishing this series, and before you know it, actually getting ready for Easter, crazy enough, where we're going to look at divine love, but we're getting way ahead of ourselves. We're not looking that far ahead. This podcast, just for those that are listening, just remember that this podcast is all about looking back so we can be reminded of the things that we have learned so far, and then also looking forward to what's coming this coming weekend so we can prepare our hearts for worship. So we are doing this live now, sort of cutting out the middleman, I guess you could say, of making it and whatever. None of you that are listening care about the backside of things, but hopefully making it more accessible to you as we do this live. So if you're listening live, please let us know that you are here. All right. Throw it in the comments. We would gladly say hello to you and even respond to your questions. All right. Also, if you're visiting us for the first time on here, visit our website, lhchd.org. All of the great things that are happening with our church, you can see there. You could buy some church merch, which is a great way of supporting our church. It's actually kind of a unique way of supporting our church because money comes to our church and you get to wear our church message out in town, and people can say, what is that? And you can have an opportunity to share the gospel. So all of those
It's our gear.
Sorry. Well, I call it swag. Church gear. We'll call it that. Yeah. So once again, just go ahead and grab that. We would love to see that support happen. So anyways, Pastor Rich, hello.
Hello.
How is your week going? And, especially as you've reflected on this past Sunday.
Well, this week, like always, go quickly. And it seems like Sunday was yesterday, but it wasn't. It was 3 days ago. But last week we looked at Philadelphia and the city of brotherly love, and it's I don't know if you could call it the church of the seven, but it's certainly one that Jesus very much appreciated and loved, in the sense of he had no condemnation for him whatsoever, no criticism, if you will. They were a small church in a small town, but they were faithful to him and they were doing what they were created to do and put there to do. And so he commended them for it. And then he gives us great message of encouragement, basically saying, you who've been faithful to what I've called you to do, I am about to open an even bigger door for you to go through of opportunity for them. And so we really talked a lot about that last week as a church. You know, God's the one who has the keys. He brought up the keys meta picture again, and he's the one who opens and closes doors. And when God opens a door, we in our own lives have a responsibility to know that that's his door, because we can sometimes be confused by what that is. Or as a church, when God opens a door and says, go, we're kind of supposed to go through it. And so God has given us opportunities and we all have them. And so that was his encouragement to him. It's like, and what better for the little church that could, as I talked about it last week. And, you know, we sometimes talk about, like, churches get all kinds of opportunities and we don't get any. We start having these pity parties on ourselves. And my experience is that God gives opportunities to churches that are faithful to take responsible for the opportunities that he already gives. And so we as a church, we try and be sensitive to that and open to that as well. So it's really important for all of us in our lives to know that God has doors for us to open. And as a church, I believe he's given us doors to open. I say all the time, I'm really amazed at what God allows us to do as a church. You know, in spite of all those things that we have and we know and God knows that we deal with, God's given us opportunity to do a lot of good things as a church family that a lot of churches just haven't had the chance to do and are amazed that we get to do them.
Yeah, well, I love, you know, the small church connection. And I was even working on the graphic of the sermon quote that's going to be going out, and I use a picture of our church. You know, I think it is in our nature to judge things by their size, and we think that dollars equal influence. And, you know, it's really interesting, you know, I also work in marketing. And it's so funny because one of the things, I don't know why this is coming to mind. It's obviously God, so I'm going to share it. But this is my connection to this. One of the things that we do for ministries that are looking to get them, nonprofits that are looking to get their name out there more and all that, the quick solution is paid advertisements, right? We just push money at it. And it's going to artificially force your ad to be at the very top. But the other way of doing that, here's the problem. Once you stop putting money to that, guess what happens?
It goes away.
Yeah, it's not at the top of the list anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Unless it has gotten the traction that you were, like, really intense traction to hold it up there. So the best way to do it is actually take that time, little engine that could, and build that up the smart way and actually the free way that doesn't cost anything. And what you notice is you actually build something that's going to last for a long time. And so that's kind of like that. I think it's easy as a church to say, well, if we had just had more money, we just had more money, we could do more things and we'd have more influence. So can you speak to that? Like, that's the temptation, especially the American dream when it comes to church. Right. What's the temptation and the danger of that temptation when it comes to those things? Especially for us as a church, there might be people in our own church that are dealing with those thoughts too.
Right. Well, I mean, let's first be honest with each other and honest with who's listening and watching. We do need resources to do the things that we've been called to do. God knows that. One of the great things about going over this series, and I've done this series before, is we're constantly reminded that Jesus is with the church. And just because you have resources and you put it towards something, that does not necessarily mean that is the door that God wanted you to open. So you can put $1 million into anything. And if God doesn't want, if that was not God's plan for your organization, for your church, then it's not going to have the fruit that you might think it has, or it would have. And then you have to deal with all the consequences of investing in something so largely that doesn't quite produce the fruit that you were hoping it was going to generate. And we wrestle with that here in our own church life. And I mean, we got a 55,000 square foot building. That's a big building. And so thank God we have it. We certainly, for our little church, we use a whole lot of it for a variety of things.
And yeah, so, absolutely. Well,
and so that's the danger. The danger is not relying on God to fulfill your mission and vision when it's God's church and it's God's mission that we are to be a part of. And if God opens the door, and I talked about this Sunday, if God opens the door of opportunity for us, then I firmly believe that God's going to provide the means for that to take place. Now, I may not, as a leader, know where that's coming from right now, but if God opened the door, He does. And so it's just a matter of being obedient and letting Him bring about the circumstances of life that help us to be able to accomplish these things. And so, and you got to sometimes be creative. God's creative. We sometimes get trapped in our own brains about what, and that's kind of what you talk about with when it comes to marketing, especially when it comes to church life and religious nonprofits and those things. We have our basic ways of how things are done, and that's not necessarily how you got to be able to expand and think broader than that, because people think differently now in this culture.
Well, you talk about creativity. That's one of the best tools that God has given any of us here. And the best way to be creative is actually by using what you have at your disposal. I'm gonna do this for you. There you go. Right before we started this, Pastor Rich said he needed an AKA. So mine says AKA Timmy. Now his officially says AKA Yoda. But we talk about this, you know, all the time. that, again, like we seem to think that, oh, if I had more tools and more money and if I had all of the things, then I could do better. But actually what's best is when you get a group of people that come together and they say, man, we don't have much, but we still know that we want to make an impact. So how can we use what we have?
Right.
What God has given us. And then there's plenty of scriptures that we can point to. You know, he who is faithful with little will be given much. And, you know, I even think of the parable of the talents, yeah, where they were all given according to their ability, right? According to what God knew that he could trust us with. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. The problem is we complain that we want more when we're not even faithful enough to use what we have. So why would God give us more if we're not even being faithful with what we have right now in our personal lives and even in our church? And I think that's important to remember that really, when people, I love interviews with famous people or whatever it may be. And they ask them, man, like, how did you get here? You know, and as if there's like some secret formula or just like, oh, like if I just do this thing, like, hey, here's the secret. It actually wasn't that hard. And, you know, I love the answers of like, well, it took a lot of work. It took a lot of time. Like there's not just some overnight solution. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of attention to detail. And honestly, it takes all of us, right? Right. I love that this is a letter not to the pastor of the church in Philadelphia. It is a letter to the church in Philadelphia.
It's actually a letter to all those churches.
Yes.
So every single situation is for all the churches. There's a reason for that's for us. I'll give you a perfect example of what we were just talking about. We live in a world where sharing our faith, we call it evangelism, it's kind of important, kind of part of the mission.
Right.
But people think that people pour money into like flyers and all those things. And those things aren't necessarily bad. But what is still even today the number one reason people come to church or come to know Jesus? It's one-on-one personal conversation with somebody they know and trust, whether a family member or a friend or an invitation from somebody along those lines. And so it doesn't mean those other things aren't necessarily bad, but I know a lot of churches, and you do too, and that throw a lot of money towards all that stuff, when at the end of the day, still, and this has been true ever since I've been in ministry, it's been true, I think, for the history of the church, to be honest with you. It's still just the simple relationship doing it. And that doesn't cost you anything unless you count taking somebody for a cup of coffee or your time. And those are valuable things. I think sometimes we value time more than we value money. Mm. So that again, it's what's the door? God is the one who provides the door. And he's the one. And so if he's going to provide the door, he's going to provide the means. That's a simple spiritual principle for all of us to try and think through.
Man, there was a lot. There was a lot from this past Sunday, just a lot of really great takeaways. And I call them yummies. I don't know if you've ever heard the term, but a yummy is what I would call somebody that sits in church and what's being said tastes so good that they just go, right? There was a lot of yummies in church this week. Like a lot of good truths about this. But again, like, man, we're preaching the same message. It takes all of us doing it together. And again, just valuing that genuine time. You know, there are so many bands like that I think of that eventually later in their career as musicians, they come out with songs missing the good old days when it was just the pickle jar, you know, and we can't get so caught up in the temptations around us. Oh, we need to be this size and we need to have this budget. And I've seen church plants with almost no budget at all being used by God in places. And honestly, sometimes those things can be distractions. And so while you're right, it does take money to do ministry. Mm-hmm. But you can't buy ministry success, right? So there's a difference of like, it does take money to do ministry. Like you have to pay for goldfish crackers and crayons and Bibles and you know, you got to help missionaries pay for their homes, right? So ministry does take money, but you can't buy ministry success. I hate to use the word success, right? You can't buy it. You can't, and you shouldn't buy it. And honestly, if you can buy it, you're probably putting more faith in the dollars than you are in God himself to do that stuff. So
and the idea there that we need to understand when you, what you just said is it's, we can't buy it because it's God's, it's Jesus' church. It's God's church to provide for. It's his, he's the one who's the source. Now he uses us. We get the privilege of being a part of that. We get the privilege to be in on that, to participate in that. And to, and we are, any of us who are followers of Jesus, we are the fruit of churches who took advantage of doors in our own life to share the gospel with us so that we could go and be a part of this broader thing called the church as well. And so, again, it goes back to the sovereignty issue, where it's where God, you know, Jesus said he's the true one. He is the faithful one and all of that. And it's so interesting because it's just a transition. We have Philadelphia, but then we end with Laodicea. And Laodicea is literally the exact opposite of Philadelphia. And in the sense of it's large, it's got money, it's got influence, it's got all of those things in this big city, wealthy city. There's banking, they have a wool industry, they got a medical industry, and they got all kinds of things there. And Jesus looks at them and he says that you, not saying like he did with Sardis, they're dead. He says they're lukewarm. Mm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, which is an always, and it's literally, it's not just like the little trinkle, trinkle. We're talking blah. That's what the word means. That's why they use the word vomit. And that's a, again, and that's what we'll talk about this week is really at the heart of it for the church today. Many people think Laodicea speaks of the modern church. You've probably heard that in your own lifetime as well. Maybe a little bit different in a post-COVID context, but it's still there if we're not, or if we're all not careful. But it, for us as followers of Jesus, it's not that Jesus had an issue with their sin. He didn't talk about their sin. What he talked about was their lack of zeal, their indifference to the things that were going on, because they did rely on their money and their influence and all the things that they did, that they relied on except for him. And so indifference is where a lot of people would argue that the church is in our world today. So it's really ending in just saying, hey, we can't be indifferent to the things of God. Because yeah, some people would say they're not. I say I follow Jesus and I do those things, but when it comes down to the brass tacks, they're not for Jesus, they're not against Jesus, they're not hot for Jesus, they're not cold for Jesus, they're just indifferent to Jesus. And Jesus says, "That's not what I saved you to be," and that's what we'll talk about this week. It's a very challenging message this week. Because it really gets to the core of that. Because a lot, indifference is an attitude that we don't like when we don't, we can respond when we feel like we're being judged for whether or not we're being hot or cold. But when we're told we don't care, that kind of gets into the heart a little bit. So yeah, it'd be an interesting message.
Well, we do. And like there's this image, you know, I put in the comments, I put James 3:13. Mm-hmm. And basically it just says, you know, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grape bear figs? You know, again, you're going to reveal where your treasure is. You're going to reveal who you follow. Mm-hmm. Eventually you're going to have to pick a side. And I remember there was this, illustration done on stage where there were two ladders. I don't know if you've ever seen this. And you know, at first it's easy. It's at the bottom of the ladders, you can have a foot on both ladders. Mm-hmm. But then as you go, eventually your feet get so far apart that you have to pick a side or you're going to fall, and nobody's going to choose to fall. And so they'll choose a side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got to be all in. And I really don't think that you can do that unless you truly believe in what's at stake, right? Mm-hmm. That we're motivated by what's going to affect us. You know, you talk about marketing, we have to think of that lens of, okay, if you know, if our business sells basketballs and this business sells basketballs, well, then why would we want them to come to, like, what makes you different, right? What problem do you solve? And how is it going to affect me, right? That's ultimately what's going to motivate people to move and to change, is if they're going to be, if they're going to be affected by it. And so again, like when you have to come face to face with what's at stake of, if a person, were, you know, that, you know, were to die today and not know of an eternity with Jesus and those kinds of things, that's what gets you into the fight of believing that there's something at stake. And, so there's going to be, I would imagine that this weekend, there's going to have to be a lot of coming to terms with where you are in your salvation, yep. and what you truly value. Cause what you value is going to value, what you value is a great motivator. You know, if you value your comfort, if you value your, what's the word I'm gonna think, your self, not self-esteem, but your perceived image, what people see, the way people see you. If you value those things more, then obviously, sure, you're not going to be motivated to give of your time, to potentially, you know, stumble over your words as you tell somebody about Jesus. You're not going to choose that. You're going to choose the comfortable route. And that doesn't help anybody. So,
No, I mean, it's we have more we have more opportunity with, look at what we're doing right now, than ever to be passionate, or to have, we have more opportunity to learn than ever. I mean, there's more stuff to about, and more access to information about Jesus than ever. And I mean, it's almost too much because people don't really know how to filter through which to process it. But Jesus, again and again, through these seven churches, he gets at the issue of the soul and the heart. And that's what he cares about the most. We're not indifferent towards our children. We're not indifferent towards our spouse, hopefully. And there's a lot of things that we are willing to show passion and be zealous for, if you will. And that's what Jesus' word says. Jesus tells the Laodicean church to have zeal and repent. You can't get more clear than that.
Yeah.
Why not about Jesus? And I know why, and you know why, because everybody is, like you talked about, nobody wants to be called a Jesus freak or anything like that. And yet Jesus is not really asking us to be a Jesus freak. He's just asking us to love him and do what he do those things out of love. Obedience flowing from love is just takes care of itself. We should care about people in our own community and going, you know, separated from God and eternity apart from him. And people, if we said that, people said, no, I care. And then we say, well, what are you going to help us do about it? And they'll say, that's it. They'll say nothing, or I don't know. And it's like, okay, you and I were just talking a few minutes ago about some opportunities that are coming our way here in the next couple of months. We're about to enter the Easter season. How about it? I mean, for all of us, in all of those things. That's, again, many people think the modern church in the West, I wouldn't say necessarily in Africa or in the 1040 windows of the places where you, it's dangerous. Those people are zealous just by the sheer survival that they're doing it. But
You wouldn't do it if you weren't zealous.
Exactly.
You know, that's kind of one of the things that Caitlin and I liked, you know, loved a lot when we were doing church planting out in Colorado is, man, if you were going to come and sit in a converted lunch table at a school in the cold, most people were there for the right reasons, right? Otherwise, why would you be there? You know, and you kind of almost missed that. And I actually just put a resource in the chat, if you guys want to go click on that. But it's a great book that we went through. We're actually looking at going through it with our students, and it's called The Art of Neighboring.
Yes,
and I love the subline, building genuine relationships right outside your door. It's the concept of, hey, what if love your neighbor meant your actual neighbor, right? So maybe you're thinking of, oh man, how do I start? Like, I don't even know where to start. You're like a baby giraffe taking its first steps, only to fall on your face. You know, hey, sometimes that That's the best thing to do, because now you know what to fix next time, right? But we don't like, you know, our culture is very against failure, when in reality, nothing fails. Our job is not to grow the seeds. Our job is to cast them. And if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And guess what? If you don't plant any seeds, you're not going to have a harvest. And that's why Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We've got to get more people motivated and out there. And we can't do that for you. You know, we can't make you zealous. We can encourage that, and we can provide opportunities for you to show your zeal. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to rise up and again, live out your own faith journey with Jesus. And as scary as it is, but guess what? You're not doing it alone. And even the missionary that seems to be isolated isn't doing it alone. Jesus is right there with him.
Well, I'm sure I'll use this Sunday, but I was thinking about this as I was putting the message together. If somebody is at 100 degrees and another person is at 30 degrees and you bring them together, that's 130 degrees. It's not 130 degrees. It is 130 divided by 2. So that is, so that person who was, we'll call it 100 as zeal, and the person who's at 30, it ends up being a wash, or it ends up being not 100. It doesn't mean 130. And I was just thinking about that because of the issue of water. Laodicea was between two cities. One had really good hot water, Hierapolis. One had really good cold water, Colossae. And in the aqueduct system, the water that came from, by the time it got to Laodicea, was lukewarm. They knew exactly what Jesus meant when they said lukewarm. And so when they did that, and I just thought about it, when you bring two waters together, two liquids together of two different temperatures, they're going to find equilibrium. And I'm not sure Jesus wants us at equilibrium. I think Jesus wants us at 100 when it comes to him. And so that's the picture that we really need to understand about in our own walk. If we're indifferent and we're going to somebody who's on fire for somebody else, our indifference, it's amazing how quickly cold water can make hot water lukewarm.
Yeah. So it's and not vice versa, you know.
Yes.
So... Well, hey, we really appreciate, first off, all the interaction in the comments. It's been really cool to see all of you that are listening with us. As always, this is meant to be community driven. So I know we're talking at you, but we love the interaction. And obviously your comments and things show up on the screen when you give them. We love that. We love knowing that you guys are hopefully gaining something out of this as we look back and see, okay, here's a good reminder of what we're supposed to be as a small town, small church, relatively small. A church, and then also looking at this weekend of wrapping up this series of saying, okay, get yourself ready to go. You know, it's ironic because our youth series through Revelation is called Get Ready. You know, get ready and stay ready.
I'll give you another thing, Tim. Just our size church, you know, looking at attendance figures, which is like that, but our size church puts us in the top 30% size churches in America, and even in our own denomination.
Man.
Church is getting smaller. Only 4% of the churches in our denomination run above 500 in average daily attendance. Think about that. There's 44,000 churches in our denomination. Only 4% of them run above 500 in average daily attendance.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, huge reminders.
yeah.
So, you know, again, make sure you value the right things. I mean, I think both last week and where we're headed this week are evidence of that, that if you've been coming to church for a while and you're sitting there at this Sunday, and you're realizing, man, I'm caught in the middle. I'm not really zealous. I'm not really doing anything. We're not here to shame you, right?
No.
If anything, we're asking you, like, please, it takes everybody to do this, whether it's through giving. We just had a huge gift. I'll leave it anonymous, but a huge gift for camp just randomly came through today, and for people that aren't able to go and actually serve with us there. So whether it's you've got to come face to face, I mean, think over the next few days, what's distracting, what's keeping you from giving of that time, talent, treasure?
I really want to give people an opportunity to, this is one of those weeks where response I think is necessary. I'm trying to try and remember that in my own time and watching my clock in the back as well, because Laodicea, I could probably spend 3 weeks on Laodicea, but we're only spending one. Hmm. But if we don't give people opportunity to get before God in his house, on his knees to respond to that, I mean, it's really what he's asking these churches to do back a long time ago and to go with that. So just look forward to that. And don't be afraid to respond to what God allows you the opportunity to do. It's very spiritually fulfilling when you know God is saying to do something and you do it. I can't explain it. You just know that it is.
Amen. Well, hey, thank you again so much for joining us. As always, this is a resource for you. Obviously, you know, we're not trying to get famous doing this. This is a resource. We want to be able to have this midpoint in the week as a reminder and an encouragement to you all. So if you're having a great week, praise God. Use it as an opportunity to prepare for the mountains that you might be facing in the future. If you're having a tough week, just remember that the mountain is ahead of you. So keep pushing forward and let us know how we can walk that with you. But as always, this is the Looking Both Ways podcast, where we look back and look forward to maintain the right focus throughout the week. I'm Pastor Tim. He's Pastor Rich, a.k.a. Yoda. And we look forward to seeing you this weekend. We'll see you all next time.
Have a great one, everybody.